Hi, this is Mary from WHFC, and thanks so much for joining us on Career Explorers. It's part of WHFC's official podcast, WHFC Presents. On this episode, we'll be talking with CASA of Harford County, which stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. And if you have a special place for young people in your heart, and you want to be a voice for those who may not have one, you may want to consider this as a voluntary opportunity for yourself. I have with me the director for Harford County, CASA, Ross DiEduardo, as our information specialist, and we'll be taking a look into a day in the life of a court-appointed special advocate. Mr. DiEduardo, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I was hoping that you might share some information about your background.
My professional background myself?
Yes, please.
I have always worked in the field of child welfare in some respect. I started, you know, right out of college with working direct care at a group home for kids. After I got my master's degree, I went to work for a treatment foster care agency as a caseworker for kids that were placed in specialized foster homes. I then went back to the facility where I was a direct care worker and became a program director over several of the units there until I found my way to CASA about 17 years ago.
Quite impressive. And in speaking of a day in the life, can you give me a glimpse of the average day of a child special advocate?
It's kind of hard to pick a typical day for a CASA volunteer because it really depends on kind of what's going on with the case. It could be a day where they're just keeping regular contact with all of the people involved in the child's case. So maybe it's just some phone calls, some contacts with foster parents, catching up on how the child's doing. Are there any needs that are not being met? But then there could be a day where they have a court hearing and the advocate appears in court and they had presented a report beforehand and they are there to give their input to the juvenile magistrate as to what they thinks in the child's best interest. And then there are other days where maybe they're taking the kid out for lunch, or maybe there's a day where they have a school meeting that they're attending on behalf of the child. So it really could be a whole lot of different things. Sometimes it's sitting in the ER with a child who's, you know, going through a crisis and they're just there as a support person for them. So it could look like a whole lot of different things.
If I was a prospective applicant for CASA volunteer, what kind of education or experience would I need in order to be successful at doing this job?
Honestly, it would not require any prior education or experience. The primary qualifications are that you have to be 21 years old. You have to pass a background check. You have to go through a 30-hour training. And really, you just have to have a commitment and a heart for working with a child and keeping a commitment to doing all that's needed to be done. We have some folks that maybe were former social workers or maybe they were former teachers, but we have people from the business field who have never worked with children in their life, maybe some people that don't even have kids of their own, all who have been very successful because they have that passion to serve that role for that child.
So passion is the key.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, that's great. Are there any particular life skills that I need in order to be effective in this role?
It does require someone to be able to be somewhat organized, to be able to keep track of multiple contacts, who are all the different people that you need to stay involved with, good writing skills. Obviously, you're going to be writing a report. You do have a supervisor that will assist you in that, but you need to be able to put together, you know, all that you've done into a report format, being able to speak in court, you know, professionally as much as possible. And I think conducting yourself as professionally as you can. A lot of times our volunteers are thrown into situations where there are a lot of professionals around the table. So they may be at a meeting where there's a psychologist, a therapist, a psychiatrist, attorney. And while they're not a professional in that respect, they're representing CASA as a professional as well. So I think the ability to represent the program, you know, appropriately and effectively.
So there are qualifications. I don't know if you would call these skills or traits that you mentioned. Communication, good written skills, objectivity, commitment. And apparently you have that commitment because you served with CASA for 17 years. And leadership, I always thought, requires a lot of commitment. Can you, you know, elaborate on those three that I mentioned, possibly?
Sure. As far as myself and my role as the director or... in the role of people that are volunteering.
Of people that are volunteering, because you have been in that position too.
I think that commitment is really the biggest one. I know I said communication first, but these are children who have had so many people in and out of their lives. You know, they've had a lot of turmoil, a lot of trauma that they've been through. And once they enter the system, you know, we like to refer to it as the foster care maze, because it really is quite a maze that children are going through. And they will definitely have multiple social workers who will change. If they change placements, they may have multiple foster parents. They may have multiple schools that they've attended. But what we like is for the CASA to be a constant force for them through all of that chaos. So a commitment to saying, I'm going to be there for this child and I'm going to stick with it until their case closes or until, you know, their case comes to an end in court. So really being committed to taking this role on, making sure that you feel you can make that commitment, and really being able to make that.
And you have made that commitment. It's quite obvious. We've been over your career path, but how did you come to actually work for CASA?
That's actually an interesting story. My wife works for the Department of Social Services, mm-hmm. and she was familiar with and had worked with the previous director. And she knew that this lady was retiring. Obviously, she knew I was looking for a different job. And she talked to this woman and she said, oh, is your husband interested? Tell him to send his resume in. And I did. And I interviewed and, you know, got the job, and the rest is history. And then the biggest reason that I like working for CASA is that I'm able to serve the kids right in my community. In my other jobs, I worked in Columbia, I worked in Timonium, but with CASA, I live in Harford County, so I'm able to serve the kids, you know, right here where I live.
Well, then how do you have this work-life balance? You're married, I assume you have children?
Yes.
So that's not an easy task.
No, it's not, but, you know, I think people in many different careers have, you know, difficulties with work-life balance. And I think it's a matter of, you know, it's hard work. It's a lot of sad stories that we're reading. There's a lot of difficulties that the kids are going through, but you have to be able to, you know, be on when you need to be on, but then you need to be doing self-care and be taking care of yourself when you're not in the work setting.
Well, then what are some of the most rewarding aspects of your job?
My job is, I would say, seeing a case that comes in and that child going through that maze and coming out with a wonderful outcome. Certainly the role that, or the path that we would like to see for a child who comes into foster care is eventually being able to be reunited with their birth family that they came out of. So seeing the progress that a parent might make, seeing a parent really work as hard as they can to either come off of substances or get their own mental health treatment and be able to bring that child back into their home. So I really think the most heartwarming stories for me have been those successful reunifications. Certainly it's great to see a child be adopted and, you know, attend an adoption ceremony and see them start their new life with a new family. But I think that successful reunification with their own birth family really kind of touches the heart a little bit more, especially when you're wondering along the way if it's ever going to happen, you know, because it just looks like there's a lot of down points. But when a parent's able to put that work in, get their child back, it's very rewarding.
I'm sure it is. Knowing what you know about your job now, what would you tell others considering social work and entering a CASA organization?
Be prepared to not make as much money as your friends that work in the business field, first of all. Obviously, people that do social work kinds of jobs do not do it for the money. you know, I see it as my job, but I also see it as my personal mission to serve kids. So I'd say that, you know, to take a job in the social work field is not going to be easy. It's not going to be hard as hard as some jobs, but it could be emotionally difficult, emotionally taxing. You have to be able to not be alarmed and surprised by the things you're going to read and the things you're going to hear, and learn to kind of not let that get to you on a personal level. And like I said, being able to do self-care, because you're hearing a lot of yuck, you know, a lot of really difficult stories. So if you take that home with you, you're probably going to burn out.
A question everyone has when they're considering volunteer opportunities as with any career is, what does it require to become a court-appointed special advocate?
Well, the things that I had already mentioned, they go through a preliminary training. First, they fill out an application. They do an interview. They do an online training. It's partially online. And then there are Zoom debrief sessions together as a group. So they have to complete the training. They have to fill out all the paperwork that they need to pass the background check. And really throughout the course of that training, demonstrate that they're getting a good understanding of what the role really entails. So I think it's really knowing what the role is before you start. So making sure you have everything down and that you've made that assessment that, yeah, I can do this. You know, I have the time to commit to this.
I was wondering how many children you service in Harford County. And in terms of number, how many children do you help and how many children still need CASA advocates?
I would say annually we serve about 120 children. Currently in Harford County, there are a little bit under 200 children. Obviously, that number fluctuates. I think the last number I heard was like 190-something or 180-something. So obviously, you know, we serve about 40 to 50% of the kids throughout the year that are in foster care. So we do not in any way serve all the kids that could use a CASA. So obviously, we're always in need of more people.
I was also wondering about the kids that age out. Often children are in the welfare system from the time they're babies to adulthood. What happens to these young people, and are there services available to them? For example, kids that don't go back to their families through personal reasons or whatever and remain in the system and rely on help. How are their needs met? May I ask?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question because it's a huge issue out there. You're right. There are those kids who, it doesn't matter what age they came in, it may come to the point that they're not going to be reunified and they're not going to be adopted. So they kind of end up growing up in the system. The Department of Social Services usually moves those kids at a certain age into their independent living unit where those workers focus on, you know, providing life skills, helping them to learn how to navigate life eventually when their case closes when they turn 21. And we have kind of modeled that in our office, and we have one of our supervisors who primarily works with all the CASAs that work with our transition age youth. So she has a specialized group of people, and we provide specific training for them as well, because obviously it's very different to advocate for a 7-year-old as it is to advocate for a 17-year-old. So there's different things that they need, different life skills, different, they're just on a different path than a child that's a lot younger. So we try to assist the Department of Social Services as much as possible with providing those kids services as early as we can, because once those kids turn 21 and age out of the system, you know, while some may have a stable place to live that they're going to be able to move into once they turn 21, a lot of kids at that age are floundering, and aging out of foster care can be terrifying because you've had a lot of people behind you, supporting you, telling you what to do, and suddenly you are completely on your own if you don't have other family resources. And unfortunately, a lot of the kids that age out of foster care make up our prison population, our homeless population, because they haven't gotten what they need. So they have a really difficult time being successful. But I'll say we've seen some amazing success stories of kids who've aged out of foster care, but there's too many that don't age out successfully.
Well, that's great to hear that you have successes, and I wish you more success with these kids that need the help. You have opened my eyes to a great need for advocates through a personal friend that I have that is an advocate, and the importance of their roles in lives of Harford County children. And it takes a special person to me to become an advocate, and to me, you are a special person.
Thank you.
Because you have these big and you have these really difficult tasks and decisions to make to run the CASA organization. Most important, you have the expertise, you have the knowledge, and I think that is part of the key to providing kids with this opportunity to better their lives. You recruit, you and appoint volunteers that provide the special need for abused and neglected children. And you, along with your staff, have served Harford County well. And I must commend you on this. And what kind of plans or strategies might you have in the near future for CASA of Harford County?
That's another great question, because we do have a lot of new initiatives that are going on right now. One of the things that we are really striving for is to increase the diversity of the volunteers that we're bringing in to serve the kids that we're serving. It's not a secret. It's well known that children of color are overrepresented in the foster care system. But we, as an agency, when you look at the demographics of our volunteers, we are lacking in volunteers of color who can be there to support those children of color. Not to say that, you know, you have to be the same color or the same cultural background as the child that you serve. But a lot of kids who have a certain cultural background may relate to and learn more from someone that looks like them, you know, that's been through a walk that's similar to them. So we are, you know, really putting forth some diversity recruitment efforts to recruit not only more African-American volunteers, but more male volunteers. That's another piece that we are very lacking in. You know, we have about 50% of our kids are boys or males, and maybe 8% of our volunteers who are male. So we need more volunteers that look like and match the demographic of the kids that we work with.
Well, in fact, that was one of the initiatives that I had wanted to mention before I ended the segment, and that is your diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative. And I wanted to know why this is so important to you and CASA's success.
I think it's tremendously important because most of the people who do CASA volunteering probably didn't come from a background similar to what these kids have been through. And so you may have someone that, you know, has an upper class background themselves, may have grown up in privilege or in homes that, you know, where there was no need. And it can be hard then to relate to a birth parent who finds themselves in a situation where they're addicted to substances or neglects their children because their mental health issues are not taken care of. So it's important for us to educate our volunteers to learn to respect everyone as an equal and see them as having a chance in the system, because it's real easy to read on paper what a parent maybe has done or allowed to happen and automatically write them off. So our diversity initiative involves helping to train our volunteers to understand differences in race, differences in religion, differences in abilities. We do serve some kids that are, you know, physically disabled as well as some of their other issues. And we have a lot of children that we serve who identify as, you know, lesbian, gay, transgender. And that's also an issue that a lot of folks may not be familiar with and may not understand. How do I advocate for this child that's going through this? So we provide as much training and support as possible for them to be able to work with kids that are very different from what they're used to being around.
Well, in ending this segment, I would say that CASA is a very worthwhile organization because they help kids that are in the welfare system to abuse and neglect. I find it to be a remarkable public service that these advocates do. There are other opportunities for our listeners to support CASA, so I would advise them to please visit your website. Thank you so much, Ross, for your time, the wonderful work that you do for Harford County Children in Need, and the difference that you have made in their lives. Until next time, this is Mary for WHFC for Careers Explorers. It's part of WHFC's official podcast. WHFC Presents. We'll be talking with you again, so goodbye until next time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.